CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Viggs. Join me today here in studio.
It's me, Charles.
Charles Ruback.
Yeah, that's me.
Do you have an initial at the end? Like a third, a fourth?
No, eight? I am not a junior. My dad is a junior.
Okay.
But I'm just Charles. I'm named after my grandfather, but yeah, that doesn't give you a surname.
No,
whatever that's called.
I don't have one either.
An end tagline to your
school
name.
I'm named after my father, who was named after his father. So my father's a junior.
So you're a junior?
You'd think I was, but because I have a middle name,
oh,
and my father doesn't have a middle name, and my grandfather didn't have one, I don't get a surname. I don't get like a third or
fourth. Sucks to be Roberto.
Yep, I get because the way it worked was that I got my dad's first name and basically what it worked out was I'm named after my grandfather on both sides of the family. Like my first name, because typically it's
two Robertos.
Well, no, my middle name is Jose, and so it's my full name is Roberto Jose Villegas. You know that whole thing.
Are you saying Jose?
Yes.
Okay.
Jose. Ah, it's okay. And because of that, I have both those names. It's the name of my grandfather and the name of my grandfather on my mom's side.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing is, I never use it for security questions, by the way. So you'll never be able to use that as my security question anyway. So okay. It's not, the information I give you is information I never put down.
Okay. Everybody start hacking Roberto's stuff right now.
It's okay. There's far. We got to get through layer one first, which is the obscenely long password
right.
Generated by 1Pass.
Yes.
Once you get through layer one, then.
You know, I don't know if you do it, but I do it. I use 1Pass or LastPass to generate my security questions, too.
Really? I didn't realize it could do that.
I Googled it. I was like, because I just started a new job.
Yeah,
I'm signing up for all
yeah.
this crap, and it's
that's
like,
a good idea.
Everybody has, you need to do these three.
That's actually, I didn't even think about having it generate a whole random stream.
Yeah, just
too.
Make it pronounceable just in case you have to read
that's
it.
That's a good damn point. That's a damn good point. I may have to go back through
and just,
it.
Yeah, just put it in your secret
I
notes.
May start doing that myself. I didn't even think about that. It's a damn. Cause you
there's, do, your, there's your life tip of the day.
Because well, you can do that with 1Pass as well. You can make pronounceable passwords as
yep.
well. And that's a good idea. That's actually a really smart idea.
Yeah, because those things are the biggest security nightmare ever. Because I think celebrities get hacked all the time because their information is so public, and then they use that.
Yeah,
well, I know where you lived when you were in third grade. I can Google that.
That's a smart idea. I've never thought about that as a way of doing security questions. Okay, so let's get to actually talking about the topic because we were talking about this in the pre-show, and you know what. We should probably get into this in the prep show. So,
well, yeah, because I started this conversation back at PAX.
Yeah, so let's set the stage on this. So PAX South, which Charles and I both attended, we've kind of hung out a lot on the day that you were there.
Saturday, we had a good time.
We ended up hanging out together. We ended up because you were gracious enough to let me crash at your hotel together. We slept in the same room. Not in the same bed.
Not in the same bed.
But same room.
No matter how much I begged.
No, same. Well, it was a two bed sort of thing because Charles had asked for a single bed.
There's no such thing as single bed.
There's no such thing.
Every time I get a single
bed. Not in those kind of hotels, there's not.
Oh, all right. You shouldn't have said those kind of hotels.
Well, I'm saying that there's no. What I'm saying is like it's like a.
People are going to wonder now.
Well, no, I'm saying like it's. When you go in, like it wasn't the Ritz, for example. It wasn't like
it was
like,
a nice hotel.
It was a nice
though.
Hotel, but it was definitely like it's a nicer chain hotel. If that makes any sense. It's like it's a step above a motel. Like not in a bad way, but in like if Motel 6 is like the and that's like Motel 6 is bad either.
I thought it was a really nice hotel. Make you feel bad. Like no,
well, I'm saying like a motel.
It's a good hotel.
Well, okay.
You're putting your foot in your mouth.
What I'm trying to say,
you're not sounding very grateful.
No,
feeling,
I am.
I'm so
what
upset
I'm trying,
right now.
What I'm also trying to say is that what those hotels tend to – they're business hotels. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yes, that's a good way to
– in Japan, they have the similar thing where they have these like really cheap, you know, lodgings that aren't necessarily the biggest rooms on the planet, but they have a bed. They're clean. They're maintained. You know, there's breakfast that you're able to, you know, there's a breakfast of sort of things like that's it's and they're under $100, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of like staying per night, even in like Tokyo and shit like that.
Yep.
But they're not like they're not the Four Seasons. They're not that. They're just a basic lodge, but they're, you know, it's not like, you know, rat infested or anything like that. Like it's very clean. It's very, very straight, which it was. It was very clean. It was very everything else. It went very,
it's very Sanitonian.
Yeah. It, yeah. The basic way I'll put it, no frills, you know, right. No frills hotel, which is not a bad thing when you just when you're at PAX and you're not really going to stay there.
And it was a mile away. Right. I mean, it was
like,
awesome.
We're not going to stay in the, like, you're not going to stay in the room. I'm not, you know, none of us were like, let's party in the room in San Antonio. It's like, we just need a fucking place to crash. You just need a place to crash.
Party ended. We crashed. And we left. Like, right. Yeah. You're not hanging out all day. Yeah.
You're going to share a cube room from on your trip to Japan. I will probably I'll talk about my future plan to Japan trip when it comes time. Right now I just recently got all the vacation needed off, so next month is buying tickets and all that stuff. And when all details are coming through, I'll put more into that. We'll talk. I'm keeping all that close to this because I haven't bought a fucking ticket yet, so nothing's that. But let's get back to talking about this. So we're talking. So at PAX South, in midst of all both with hanging out, you had explained that at the time Doug Walker, better known for his video series.
This is all related. But
right.
But this was the Fine Brothers.
The Fine Brothers had done the whole reaction thing.
Which I think Doug Walker stuff was around the same
time. Right. And the react thing, that's all fizzled out in the way that it was supposed
that
to
be. That was quick and fast.
It had to be, but it was really interesting. The interesting
so much fun to watch. The drama just it was good.
The interesting thing about it, and it was because again when we started talking about it, and this is for those who've been under a rock since the last time, and Mech, before you continue in the chat room, I do know of Capsule Hotels.
Are they real?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They're like hyper real.
I heard about those like in the '90s. Like,
they're real.
Like it was this mythical thing.
No, they're real. And there's actually a really cool one in Narita, I think, at the hotel at the one of the international airports there in Japan.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of like a...
Are you going to try to stay in one just to screw with the poor Japanese people?
I'm honestly half tempted to stay in one.
I don't think they're designed for Americans.
There are ones that are like double... Like, okay. That are double size, my friend.
It's like, I don't think I would fit in one.
I had a... When originally, like, my friend Mario was supposed to come with me, but due to some other things that came up, he's going to be unable to attend. And as part of the joke, I kept saying, like, do you want to go stay at a capsule hotel? He's like, I don't want to fucking sleep in a coffin. I'm not prepared to sleep in a coffin quite yet.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
That's one of the ones I'm thinking of doing.
Is it like a communal shower, though?
I mean, it's like a dorm shower.
Okay.
Which, if you've, you know...
That's what I meant.
Right. Because, yes, it's communal. There's no, like, private shower. But, I mean, it's like... It's a dorm shower with, like, you know, you can kind of cover it up. You know, it's not like it's fucking a gym shower. I don't think it's like a gym locker room shower, per se. Like, if you think of your different types of... This is now talking about male showers. Like, there's...
Man, we're talking about male showers now. We stayed at that kind of hotel.
We talked about reacting...
yeah,
and copyright law, but yeah, no, it was interesting for the Fine Brothers for sure. Was like how quickly it fizzled. It had to, because
I really expected them to just go quiet and just make it happen.
There's a weird part of me that wishes they stuck to their guns, if nothing more than we could test this idea out. Because the beauty part about trademark law is you can still challenge it with prior art and things like that. And I would be really – I mean, because, again, for them, this is where things get tricky now with YouTube. And this will lead in, I think, okay into our next kind of topic of it. When YouTube was started, like, do you remember YouTube's beginnings?
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of child porn.
I don't know if it's that.
No. So,
because a lot of the shit that was
– I have to explain before – because I said child porn. No, before I knew what YouTube was – I was going to school.
Right.
I was in college, and this older guy I worked with, which I've not worked with, but studied with,
mm-hmm.
which may explain something. I don't know. he goes, "Have you heard of this YouTube?" I'm like, maybe.
Have you heard of this child porn on there?
Well, because he's like, I've heard, there's a lot of child porn on there. I was like, oh, okay. And it just always stuck with me. Like,
I
just interesting.
And then 2 years later.
It kind of explains the rocky start of YouTube, because it was just, anybody could put anything.
And then 2 years later, lo and behold, he had his own kiddie porn dungeon. All like, remember that scene from Donnie Darko? It was exactly like that. It's crazy. Who would have thunk it, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I mean, after we had that class, I didn't see him again. So maybe he did get arrested for child porn. I don't know.
But
yeah, it was a rocky kind of just. Well, because it was the Wild West of video.
Yeah, because essentially a lot of people posted a lot of copyright written material on there. And this was
that's where you went to watch Harry Carey clips.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi! 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 If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I know I would. I cover myself in brown mustard. I'd be so delicious.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's where you go for
right, of
all
course.
That stuff. All the good stuff.
Right, you did that. You went there to watch your South Park episodes. Yeah. Whatever got uploaded.
Pretty much anything Viacom owns.
It's like Daily Motion today.
Exactly.
You can relive the old days of YouTube through Daily Motion, which is sad to say, even though Daily Motion is switching too. Anyways, so going back to this whole thing. So we start talking, at that time, Viacom ended up suing YouTube when Google bought them. And, you can all look up this history of that. But throughout this whole turmoil of YouTube's existence, the biggest claim as to why they were able to exist the way they were and why they were not responsible for what got uploaded is the concept of safe harbor. Do you know what the concept of safe harbor is?
Kind of got a
this
feel.
Is an older thing back in, if you can look this up.
Mid-90s,
like when YouTube, like back when Google was indexing those torrents and those sites and things that were pirated.
I don't think torrents existed in the mid-90s.
Whenever, was indexing all those illegal sites that had all the ROMs and
yes,
the
there we go, yes.
The ROMs and the
ROM download sites straight from the website.
Fuck yes.
Good times.
That's what it was. It was crazy. Mm-mm.
And you didn't have to click through 30 ads to download.
Nope.
To download all the ROMs.
You just had to close that one porn ad that popped up. That one dangerous porn ad.
Yep.
That your parents. Thank God your parents weren't you looking at your computer.
Oh, we downloaded it at school.
My greatest accomplishment of emulation was actually in high school. I've told the story before, but I'll tell you anyways. It was essentially that my professor was like talking about old arcade games. And one of them, I forget which one it was, I think it was Xenomorph or Xenophobia. Xenophobia was the game, I think it was. Or something along those lines. I forget the damn name of it officially. But regardless of it, he ends up saying, like, I go, well, you can play the computer. He's like, really? And so he ends up, like, putting in all the passwords for whatever the fuck protection software was on the computer in the 90s. I think it was, like a dog, but I forget the damn name of the dog. It was like some Betsy or some shit. Like it was literally like some.
Okay.
I just forget the damn name of the software, but it was like Betsy or whatever the fuck. And so he goes, turns off all the stuff that gets rid of all like the blocking of the site and everything else. We end up going to emulate. I go to like every emulation domain and start downloading MAME, installing all the shit, right. Whatever. And we after that, we proceeded to play, that arcade game.
Awesome.
And beat Turtles the next day. All on school property computers.
I remember downloading
my greatest accomplishments.
So Super Nintendo games were just a little too big to fit on a floppy.
Yep.
So, but the internet at school was amazing. So I would download them, and then I'd have to cut the file with. I think it was a program called Chainsaw.
Yep.
I would cut up the file.
Make a multi-size.
I would make
R,
one or two or three discs to take home. But,
yep.
And I had a stack this big, and I would come home with all these awesome ROMs, Super Mario RPG, and
yep. The early days of emulation. The early days.
Good times.
I remember actually back my earliest memory of Super Nintendo emulation. Like this is how bad it was back then versus how great it is now. Like at the certain time when I got into SNES emulation, they hadn't quite gotten the alpha channel correctly.
Yeah.
On the Super Nintendo, that if you played something like Castlevania, you just saw this like thick cloud of smoke in front of you in the first level. That I had to actually turn off that layer just to play the game. That's anyways, old stuff. But anyways, the point being, Safe Harbor is the concept that Google or a site that indexes other things or that essentially allows for user-posted content, it especially if it's illegal, is not is not the one, is the party infringing. You know, because again, if you think about Google and the fact that it's searching the internet, especially back in the 90s when it was searching the internet as a complete and utter whole. Sorry, I'm just belching a bit. If you think about it, it's searching the entire internet, that it could pick up certain things that are probably illegal. Like it might index that torrent of from the Pirate Bay that is X, Y, or Z. And so the way that they defend themselves against a lot of stuff was this concept of safe harbor, the idea that they're not responsible for that. But if they are informed about an infringing link, that, you know, they have to remove it and everything else.
Right. Yeah. So continue. Yeah. So, I'll let you keep going.
Right. Cause it just, so the idea, so that's sort of why YouTube exists the way it did. Between then and now, a little law called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act came up into place. In fact, I remember when I was talking about the DMCA, as it were, I remember the first thing we talked about. This is how fucking far back it was. This is back in high school. I've told like when I had Tay on that I had a shirt that said "Got DCSS" on.
I had to Google that. That's because I know you're just barely older than me, but I had to Google that because I was I missed that. I remember the Blu-ray one.
Right.
It was on everything. Yep. T-shirts and tattoos.
Yeah,
and
same idea. Is Content Scrapping System was like, that's when the DMCA started really becoming a discussion point, because here was the idea of, well, this code breaks copyright. You know, because the DMCA is one of the basic kind of clauses of it. There's a lot of different clauses in there. I think there's even one thing on like a bolt hole kind of thing. I haven't looked at the act in such a long time that I think that's still there. I don't know.
They like to cram things in there.
Right.
That don't belong.
Right. Yeah. It felt like this doesn't, you know, thing. But one of the biggest
one of these things is not like the other.
But one of the biggest things on that was the idea that if a copy protection system is good enough, you know, in terms of protecting something, that you can't break it for certain reasons. There's certain exclusions in there in terms of, like, the Library of Congress can break it for archival purposes and a couple other things.
That's,
you know,
that's new, right?
Well, that's always been there. That's always been
there. I thought it's always a news article when it's like,
well, it's because
we can
they have to challenge each time. Okay. They have to prove that they have to do it. Like, there are these clauses there, and they exist, but a lot of them require you to have to say, like, if the Library of Congress, like, wants to break something, they have to prove, like, this is historically important to break it. Like, they have, like, in other words, like, we need to archive this piece of data, you know, data, whatever. They always get carte blanche. They always get the ability to break those kind of laws in the effort of preserving history. It's why, like, for example, one of my favorite movie facts is the fact that Back to the Future, the first one, is in the Library of Congress right now. And so as long as the United States exists as a concept, I mean that in a very real way. As long as we exist as a concept and a power of some sort, that Back to the Future Part 1 or Back to the Future 1 will always be archived in some capacity and, like, historically preserved by, you know, there are tax dollars at work right now that are keeping that movie in some type of pristine print, which I find that really cool. Out of all the weird movie facts I know is that one.
That's cool.
There's a couple other movies in there too as well that you can look up and see, but. So yeah, one of the basic things is that. The other kind of things in that are the idea that if on the internet, if you post something that's illegal, that me as – like, let's say, for example, like I make a work online. Let's say that I'm Rooster Teeth and I make Red versus Blue. This is important because, again, you know, telling the laws and explaining how things work is very important on what – why we need to talk about this whole thing.
You know, with our discussion the other day – Red, you make it sound like Red versus Blue shouldn't be allowed.
No, this is what I'm going to say. This is again. I want to set.
I may be jumping ahead.
Right. Yeah. I want to set the stage because this is important to talk about what the DMCA allows somebody to do versus any. And this is not just limited to Hollywood. This is limited to every copyright holder, mind you. But let's say, for example, I'm Rooster Teeth. And somebody posts on their channel a copy of Red versus Blue, claiming it's their own and getting money off of that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in this case, they are infringing because they're taking a piece of creative work that is not theirs, and they're trying to make money off of it.
Right.
It's a clear cut case. In other words, they just copy paste. So what I can do as a copyright holder, I can issue what's called a DMCA takedown. What that means is that I have said this is in violation, Google. This is illegal content. You must do your effort to remove it. That's all a DMCA takedown is. And by the way, if you think it's just limited to Google, it is not. You can do this on Vimeo. You can do this on SoundCloud. You can do it on every goddamn internet service. The DMCA is not a limited to this one scope thing. It also applies to Daily Motion. It applies to Google Video. It applies to Twitch. Anything that has any kind of video archival thing or the ability to have something archived, in some type of video fashion. And if I'm a commercial entity,
well, heck, Twitch is, even if it's not being archived,
right? Well, again, we're at a different point now. But like, that's another call. But the idea being, DMCA, I can make that claim as a copyright holder. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Here's where it gets really bizarre and weird. And it's only come up to now. There's always been this concept in legal, especially in copyright, the idea of what this thing called fair use. And this is sort of where our argument leads into. Now, I'm going to ask you, Charles, what, before you even started really looking into all the Doug Walker stuff and everything else, and we'll talk about, I keep saying Doug Walker, like we've already talked about it, I keep going there. When was the last time you even knew anything about fair use? Like, when was the last time you heard the term fair use? What do you think fair use is, actually? Maybe that's a more important question.
So I don't, I can't tell you the exact definition, but it really boils down to...
What do you think it means?
So my definition is common sense.
Okay.
If I'm using a work and I'm not using it to add to it or to use it for criticism or parody or I've added something to it, and then it's okay to monetize. Like, it really boils down to monetization.
Well,
monetization doesn't monetization is when people start looking at you. I should take that back. But it's really common sense. I'm using their work, but adding to it, as opposed to I'm not adding to it, and I'm just using their work as is.
All right,
that's really what I consider fair.
Here's the next follow-up question on it. Do you think you need to prove fair use?
I don't think the content, like the content that we're talking about that has been modified. If I'm a creator and I've taken I've taken Red versus Blue and I've edited it into a funny, I've done something to it and I'm talking about it and like I've added to it and I've given it value, I don't think I should have to defend myself.
So fair use is one of those weird, squishy things of copyright law. It's kind of like, I think the term goes, it's kind of like porn. You'll know it when you see it. That's actually part of a free speech case. That actually is part of a like real honest to God case when it came to, Penthouse, I think it was, where the idea of porn versus art and that, the lewdness of it, the idea that you're like, well, it's naked, it's art. It's like, no, it's not. And it's like, well, what makes a nude artist versus, a porn thing? It's like, there's a difference.
If a little blood rushes to your penis, it's probably porn.
Well, it's a weird...
You'll know it, right.
It's you'll know it when you see it. And so fair use is this weird idea where... You're absolutely right in terms of criticism and all that is under the thing. There's actually four pillars of what is considered.
There's actual four rules, but it is...
Well, not four rules, four pillars.
Pillars.
Yeah, what's interesting about fair use, and this is the one thing that never truly ever gets talked about, never gets brought up, is that you still have to prove it in court. It's bizarre. It's weird. Like right now, the latest thing that came up when it came to fair use case... this is the last thing that's ever come up years later, mind you. And this is before Content ID was even around.
Mm-hmm.
Was at one point the copyright holders of a Prince song had sued a parent that had uploaded a video of a baby, dancing to the song. Like, yeah.
This just happened.
Right. This just happened. But the case has been in the court for a while.
Yeah. Okay, I just heard about this today.
Right, and the idea that it had it'd been in there for a long time, like well before Content ID was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the judge said at the end of it, the last one, was the idea that that a copyright holder should basically consider fair use before going down a line. And ultimately,
they don't. Well, at least not on YouTube.
It's okay. We're going to get there.
I guess we're blood boiling.
It's okay. We're getting there because a lot of it's interesting and a lot of it is.
It's the blood boiling to my penis.
So that's the one thing we never talk about is that. Because like right now, so let's kind of cut to the chase. Right now, basically, long story shorter, Doug Walker of Nostalgia
Critic, and he's
fame,
one.
He's one out of many. Out of
I
a
hate
lot.
Everything. Your movie sucks. I mean, the Fine Brothers are kind of on the other end of the spectrum, but
well, they're not, and they are
a grade A under A. There's a lot of
people
giant
who,
YouTube
yeah.
people
who are
basic, speaking out on this.
Right, who are speaking out of the idea that where is the fair use? And they're essentially speaking out to the idea of it's very interesting because a lot of things that I've only learned this recently because I've had enough lawyer friends who have talked to and mm-hmm. asked them questions because I have at least two friends in who are actually IP lawyers. In all honesty, like real people. Like I've talked with them, asked them questions, and asked them these sort of things about stuff. Because at one point I'd had a DMCA takedown claim on me, mm-hmm. So I can talk from experience this one. And so I learned a lot about why certain things are. Like people are complaining, like why does it take 30 days? A lot of that has to do actually with legal. I don't think you've ever been. Obviously, neither you or I have ever been in a real, honest to God court case. Like,
no.
None of us have been sued.
Unless you count me binge watching Making a Murderer.
Right. Well, I'm saying, like, none of us have ever been sued.
Oh yeah, thank
none of us have thankfully ever been in any kind of like we have to appear before a judge. Not in the all right, you took your defensive driving. Congratulations, good job. Get the fuck out of here, kind of thing. Like, not in that sense. I mean, in the Your Honor, you know, the like very much hardcore. Legal stuff. What's coming up?
A tweet.
Okay.
Someone tweeted at me.
There you go.
I'm special.
And so, basically, when you as part of like that legal thing, there's always the idea that when you send for like an issue of discovery or something like that, like some type of legal action to the other side. There's the idea that there's a 30 like the minute you send it, there's actually a 30-day clock on that. And that's part of legal. It's to give them a month to get their shit together, whatever it is, or to you know to like send it out right away and like let it bury and hope they don't see that thing. It's the idea that we presented this evidence, Your Honor, and we present the court right now, and that 30 days it happens. Like, well, they never got back to us. We have proof that we gave them the you know, like you know when you hear like the idea like why did you miss this whole like how did we miss the damn bloody knife that the prosecution said how did we not get the alert? They sent it to us like legal carrier like what the you know like, we see all the things in screaming like SVU and shit like that. That's what they're talking about is that there's this the idea that when you ask the defense for something else, even if the idea like ask them for a discovery thing or whatever, that they have 30 days to comply. So a lot of the things that we have in these like DMCA takedowns, because again, these are legal things. These aren't like magical mystery kind of, you know, whatever. They're all part of the legal side of stuff, and they're not court cases quite yet, but they're in that part of discovery that you're given 30 days to do it. Like this is all part of the claim. It's so funny because a lot of the issues that stem from this fair use idea is all deals with the DMCA. Now, at the same accord, if they make a false claim, you actually are allowed to take them to court if you'd like. But that costs money, everything else like that. So let's kind of talk about this. I really don't know where to begin because I kind of feel like after seeing the video, and for those who have not seen the video, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Definitely
sure.
Watch it. Very, very – if you can watch Doug Walker's, which is the Nostalgia Critic.
Yeah.
He does a really good one where he kind of gives – this pipe dream, I think. I mean, it's a great solution. Like, it's really just to get a discussion going. It's not law.
No. And again, because a lot of the issue is right now.
I know we sound really vague. Like,
well, because we sound vague is a lot of the thing is we sound vague is because a lot of it is vague. A lot of what people are arguing isn't quite like they're arguing for the idea that these YouTube creators are special. Because they're making commercial content, and that they should be given some type of wiggle room more so than, let's say, somebody else, and that includes us, by the way, too. That includes like right now what we're doing, even though we don't put ads monetizations, we are you know, we are sort of, because again, the idea behind it is that a lot of people who are talking about this, because again, the real crux of the argument is that if you're a film critic and you use clips within your movie, within your thing, to critique something or underlie something or discuss something, that because of that, you're in fair use territory, which you are. You're legally in fair use territory. I'm not going to say otherwise.
Okay, well, then we agree on that.
But a lot of the things that are being used as weapons, per se, mm-hmm. to stop either a review or to do this, are all kind of claimed in the DMCA and all part of that. And this is sort of where I get my weird argument. Cause I get the idea that we all want fair use to be a thing, but fair use is this really, really, like, much like a lot of legal stuff, and you only learn this when you start reading legal stuff, that a lot of legal stuff has a lot of wiggle room, a lot of squishy stuff, you know. And it's weird now to talk about this because, you know, you think about, if you read like a law or an act or anything like that, they're never defined. Something. Heck, you can go to your if you work at a higher corporate law or a corporate company. And you look at like your terms of service or your SLA agreements or even your procedures for whatever thing you do. A lot of times some of those procedures might not be – like you'll read it and you might say to yourself, yeah, but where does that apply? What does that mean? They're defined that way not because they want to have this wiggle room to things. They're defined that way to catch everything that they think they missed, because if you define a legal document way too – way too strict, you only get that one thing. If you make it way too broad, you get, you know, you just won't pass or cover too much. So you gotta find that weird mushy middle to get what you want and still be able to prosecute things in court. Because again, if we take like the idea of what defines porn, it's like, well, it's anything that has, you know, nudity and tits. It's like, well, that would, you know, the Mona, you know, the like, there's a million.
The Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa. You saw a different Mona Lisa than I saw.
There's plenty of statues in yes. Greece that would qualify it right. as that and that, which we would, which if you were to say, well, no, those are, you know, great works of art. Michelangelo did amazing things. And yet there's, you know, hanging dong on that. And if we're to take it by our modern sensibilities, that would be porn.
Right.
So you can't say that. You have to kind of find that very ground. But again, the idea being like even if you say like, what's porn? Well, I'll know it when I see it. That's not a yes or no. That's an interpretation. And that's what a lot of law and a lot of things are, interpretation. And the big issue right now is that we do not have the systems in place on computers to interpret things like a human.
Yes. Well, all of YouTube, like Doug Walker has mentioned this, and most of, so definitely check out I Hate Everything's Cool Cat fiasco, which was awesome to watch and very informative, because I think he even gets a lawyer at one point.
Yeah, you have to.
A lawyer to actually speak on camera to explain why what he was doing was fair use, and it was really cool.
And it was fair use. And the real crux of the argument, and this is why I set the stage as far back as I could for mm-hmm. what Content ID was, everything else. Because at a certain point, because YouTube was the Wild West, Viacom started Viacom, a lot of different companies, even Red versus Blue, even Rooster Teeth at one point, mind you, did this too. So don't, you know, there's actually, Gus Farrell was telling a story at one point where he wanted to issue some takedowns of, like, again, the idea of people copying full out
monetizing off of their direct work,
right? And so, as part of it, this is before, like, they'd only given like Content ideas as a beta to certain access, whatever. You had to actually fax in your claim.
Oh my god!
And so Gus Cirola, in his infinite awesome wisdom, said, "All right, print like a shit ton of URLs and fax them the fuck in." And they then gave him the fucking, like, okay, here's the Content ID system, Mr. Cirola.
Yeah,
because they didn't. This is sort of where it all begins. Is that because YouTube was this wild, wild west of content, and I mean that in all honesty. We're talking. You mentioned the whole, like, I watch clips off that. Like, that is also,
it really,
you know,
was the
it
wild
really
west.
Is. And so, as part of the idea of in Google, you know, because Google's MO at the time, and still is their MO and now, mind you, is why have a human do it when you can program an algorithm to do it? when you can have an algorithm go through it and figure out what the fuck this means. That's
which is good and bad, which right. is what I was getting at. Doug Walker and I Hate Everything. I don't know his real name. I think his name's Alex. A lot of these guys who we've been talking about have just been miserable. It's the worst experience to deal with this because they can go. They never talk to a real human.
Right.
They never like so the Content ID. You know, something goes out there, matches their video, flags it,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to start fighting it. But they're not talking to human.
No.
It's you're talking to a dumb machine.
That's why we get that thing. That honestly, that's one of the reasons why we get that service for free.
Yes,
it's okay. This is when we're all getting it.
We all love YouTube. We all hate YouTube at the
right.
same time. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. Of course.
But yeah, it's you've got so many videos and there's so many things, but there's no way to get to a point where like. If you're making a living off these videos, there's no way for the content creator to battle it easily.
Right.
It's because you're playing with a machine. It's hard to get.
Yep.
I think they rarely get contact with an actual human being.
Never.
Now, an actual human being may fix things when they post a video
yeah.
where they're complaining about stuff, which was also really interesting.
Right.
Doug Walker did a video where he's like, we've been fighting this for 3 weeks, and we haven't been putting out much content because we haven't been making any money because we have all these strikes on our account. And then he makes this video. The next day, all out of nowhere, it's all clean. They're all good. It was
right.
But if he wasn't that big of a channel,
right?
If he was just me who uploads a video,
or me who'd happen to have the same thing happen, and again, like mine was a complete misunderstanding, and that sometimes happens because a lot of times it wasn't even a content ID; it was actually a manual takedown, which is basically the idea that some lawyer or some company saw this
was actually searching
and saw this, maybe just saw a thumbnail and then infringed, because ultimately we had done a commentary track for Fireplace for Your Home as a complete,
no way.
Yeah, we did a joke of it.
Oh,
it's one
my
thing.
Gosh.
And we had a thumbnail from, you know, a still image from the clip there as our thumbnail, which is completely legitimate. It's part, you know, that is actually fair use completely. And it was commentary track, had no audio, whatever, everything else like that. So completely fair use and all that kind of regard. But because, you know, the thumbnail and the video are so goddamn close together. I love the man who made the video. He's an amazing guy. We've actually conversed with him. In fact, as part of one of the things, he actually he had actually mailed us. I think we've told the story already, but he had mailed us. You know, we were talking about it. We had him actually in that conversation. He had heard our video. He's like, yeah, you guys are really good. You guys should be on like a radio or something like that. It was me and Brant.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of really rewarding to hear the guy who created Fireplace for Your Home get the joke.
That's great.
And get the gag. And he was like, okay, cool. He gets the gag. And I have to. Again, at the end of the day, look, if it makes you money, fuck it. I am not going to judge you on if you have figured out a way. If you have found oil in stock photography at 4K worth of things, I am not going to. Gonna hold it against you if you have found gold of like recording a fireplace with like, you know, your rent a red camera for a day.
Mm-hmm.
You are not gonna hear me be the one to criticize you, sir, because you have found the magic money maker, and I am proud of you. Because we talk about movies all the time, and that sometimes a project that we wonder like, why the hell did that guy do that project? So he had the money to do the actual cool project, you know. Because he'll you know, he might get the big bump from doing like Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, but then have the money to do like the next Citizen Kane.
Right.
You know.
So, but I mean, what we're talking about.
Right. We're splitting hairs. But the point, yeah.
But what we're getting at is you have experienced
correct.
This. It sucks.
Right.
And
it sucks.
There needs to be some kind of, there has to be a way to find a way to change this. And we just need to keep talking
well,
about
cause
it.
Well, because a lot of it is the real crux of the argument, the real issue, is a little bit the DMCA for sure, because again, a lot of all these things.
It was written in '96. It didn't know YouTube was ever going to come out.
Yeah, it didn't know that. But I mean,
if you're talking about there's boat stuff in there, then it's obviously
it's definitely got
some problems.
It had problems then. It has problems now. It had problems back in '96. It has problems now in 2016.
I mean, the 30-day thing you're talking about was probably because you need to mail somebody a letter.
Right. Exactly.
You can't. This.
And again, these are all. These
you
are,
can't click a button and it's instantaneous.
Right.
That doesn't fit in
well,
with their.
A lot of what Content ID came out of was that the original system was like they had to issue these takedowns manually. They had to actually send notice to them to Google. And again, in Google's infinite wisdom, they thought, well, we can't afford to, you know, and this is
this site will go under if we're having to pay people to do this.
Right, exactly. And so that's why they made Content ID and made it very easy to have this stuff flagged. Because again, even YouTube has in their page what they consider fair use and what is fair use when you challenge a Content ID thing. The tricky thing about fair use, and this is the one thing that, again, never gets talked about whenever the magical word fair use comes up, is that you still have to prove it in court. If I got, for example, if I challenge a DMCA takedown, which I've done it two or three times now, actually, because of clips, whatever, through Content ID, whatever, like one of our most popular clips on the channel. Quite literally, like, it's 4,000, maybe 5,000 views at this point in time. Expectation versus reality, talk about 500 Days of Summer. We're commenting over the thing, but because we're using a big fucking giant clip from the movie, and we're not doing the core of it. Because the idea behind, you know, of one of the pillars, the idea is, like, does it take away from the core idea of it? Do you build upon it or whatever?
Yeah, that's another thing. If I watch your stuff and I'm satisfied, I don't – it doesn't – another good, like, rule of thumb is if it makes me want to go and watch the stuff – then that's fair use.
Right.
You did a really good job.
Right. However, it's like, you know what? I got exactly what that movie was about. Cool. And that
yeah. So if you watch a reaction video where someone plays all of Roberto's video and reacts to it, guess what? I'm not going to Roberto's channel to watch it. So
exact idea. Yeah. And so, like, with our video,
but common sense. It's really common sense.
Well, it is, but it isn't. I mean, it's
again, at least that situation.
There's a lot of, again, this is where we start getting in the fun things of legalities. But so, like, within the video, we use extensively the clip, specifically of that movie, where it's the expectation versus reality scene. We're rewinding it. We're going back. So we're doing a lot of different overview commentary. We basically take, like, a three-minute clip and extend it by our discussion to, like, 30 or 20 or some odd minutes, you know. So already, you know, you're not going to get the core of the movie from our clip alone, because not only are we rewinding it back, we're putting it silent, we're doing timers, we're doing all these kind of overlays. So in regards to that video, it was completely and utterly fair use. But because Content ID flagged it as, you know, and it's very binary thinking, because that's what Content ID is it's still a computer. At the end of the day, a computer has either a true state or a false state, a zero or one, a yes or a no. There is no middle ground.
There's no percentage.
There's no percentage. There's no that. It's either.
This is kind of bad.
Right, which, you know, we talk about legal stuff, and legal stuff is very, you know, squishy, very much a, it could be, it could not be. We have to argue it. We have to discuss it. We have to go in front of a judge to interpret it. Because there's no interpretation within a computer, per se. It's just a checksum, a hex value that matched against a database of known other checksums or other things or some other identifying marker. You know, whatever the algorithm does, it just says, that's a Content ID, flagged it, you know, 01, I did my job, program, you know. That's all a computer is. It's in all intents and purposes, as much as we love these things, they're just dumb machines.
They're as dumb as rocks.
Right. That's all they are. They only do whatever we program them to do in the end of it all. So because we had clips of the movie there, it's like, well, this violated this thing because I just matched this to this known part of the database I have here. Now, I'm able to, because it's a Content ID thing, to challenge it. It's like, okay, cool, we'll give it 30 days. And eventually, because it's not a big popular – I'm not a popular channel. I'm not even monetizing anything. It gets there. The reason it gets monetization gets tricky is because whenever money's involved, there's a higher barrier to proof.
Right.
And that's just a higher burden of proof, as it's called. So the big issue is that a lot of the channels are encountering these things. And because of the way YouTube is and the way that money is made on YouTube, this is where we get even more arguments, but this is that you have a finite amount of time to really make, and as a bigger channel, you have a finite amount of time to make that money. And I mean that.
Is it a 3-day window pretty much?
Something
where
like that.
You get like 90% of your views.
Right.
So that's another issue that all of them have is it's so instantaneous. There's no buffer room. So I know there's cases of competing channels attacking other competing channels. You just get their video taken down. Guess what? They're not going to get any revenue because no one's going to watch that video now.
Right. And again, the issue of all that is it really does boil down to the act. And I think that's sort of where I think that's my why where I fall on the argument. In other words, I
I understand why Doug is and those guys are saying what they're saying, because it is a problem. I just don't think that they quite understand the entire problem and the idea of where to start attacking. Because again, is Content ID going to go away? No, not at all. And again, not because it's a terrible system, not because of that.
I really don't have a problem with it.
Well, only because of, like the reason why it's not going to go away anytime soon is because YouTube is starting to grow the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is YouTube starting to grow the fuck up, you know, a lot of the internet video content is starting to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking multi-million dollar,
right? You know,
is it multi?
I mean, like what PewDiePie is at what, like, you know, I mean,
there's MNC or what are they called? MCNs.
Yeah, I mean, we have MCNs now. We have now a layer above internet video that manages other channels, not because they want to like control their content, but because they want a piece of that ad pie.
Mm-hmm.
Like what we mentioned, Rooster Teeth, like Full Screen is an MCN that does a lot of stuff like that. So
they own their Fine Brothers are part of them,
right? They have the Fine Brothers, but they also, you know, at the same time,
and Tay Allen
is under there as she just claimed. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that are there. None of this is bad or good. It's just I'm not.
But it's the growing up argument.
It's the idea that the internet is now becoming, because again, the generation that was like you and I, we grew up watching the internet. We're no longer, like, you, I think, have cable internet or the...
I do not have television.
Okay, you have television. I don't have cable. I have cable internet, but I don't have cable television.
I don't have
cable. Right, I don't, you don't. A lot of our generation does
I
not.
Don't think I've ever owned it.
And a lot of our generation have you know, me in particular, a lot of my content, and I think the same thing is for you, too. A lot of your content is either YouTube-related or some type of internet video related.
YouTube or Netflix is where I consume most of my content.
Right, but I'm saying like if Netflix is like still has like, because Netflix still is like, I mean, they make their own stuff too, but they have to, like, you know, commercial television content. Like I can watch NCIS on there or whatever. But like if like the conversations you and I have, it's never like, oh, did you catch the latest episode of
Real Housewives of Dallas
or whatever, or even something like we don't even really talk about The Walking Dead together. Like the things we talk about are like, do you see that Red Letter Media interview?
Exactly. Yeah.
We're talking right now, Doug Walker. We're talking about, you know, Nostalgia Critic and that kind of stuff. We're discussing this, or like, hey, did you play this game? Or did you like I bring up a game? Like, hey, did you play this game? Yeah, I saw a Giant Bomb review on it. Or the thing. A lot of the majority of you and I, at least, just within this weird cosmic kind of thing, is purely talking about internet video, as if it, like, much like, you know, if you were to think, you know, back, let's say 10 years ago, that you had talked about television.
Yeah.
And again, 10 years is in the grand scheme of things, ain't a whole lot of time.
But man, things have changed.
Right. And things have changed. Things have gotten to the point now where you now have a company, you know, who is spending a ton of money on internet video. You have a Netflix who at one point began as this sort of internet DVD rental service, is now in the idea of making its own content, licensing other content, yeah, licensing the properties to make their own, like, you know, Marvel content. You then have the idea of, yeah, I mean, you have the idea that, you know, you have a company that began its life as nothing more than a place that you could buy, you know, shit online as a marketplace.
No. Are we talking Amazon? Yeah. Back where you only bought books.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Now you can buy toilet paper, a lawnmower, right, and a bag of chips.
Right. But the idea being that now now we're in a world where that company that all they did was sell books to you.
Google used to just be a search engine.
Right. Google used to be a search engine. But, like, you know, like I say Amazon because, like, now we're in a universe where they have won, like, you know, global, you know, Golden Globe nominations for making what essentially is an internet piece of content. You know, transparency is an amazing piece of media, but at the end of the day, like, I can't flip on the television, you know, switch it to USA or whatever the fuck, and watch that. That doesn't say that cable TV isn't catching the fuck up. I finished Mr. Robot, and I can't.
I don't know. Cable's doing fine.
They're doing great. They're catching up. But
sucks.
It's okay.
They need to go away.
They will, but not in the way you think. Like, they're going to eventually come online too.
Yeah,
because again,
they're dragging their feet.
Well, because at the end of the day, they are nothing more than, much like a YouTube channel is, or much like anything else,
yep.
they're nothing more than a content producer. They're nothing more than the guys that will make something, either a compelling story or something that you may not watch. Because again, there's certain things online. Like I remember, Brian had did the whole, the equivalent of the YouTube Dancing with the Stars kind of thing.
Yes.
Like I know that appeals to somebody, and more power to you making that. That does not appeal to me. That was not the thing I'm going to watch. I'm like, okay, cool. I know, however, that because the production value is high and everything else, that somebody watches that. That there is a good following of people that love to watch this sort of stuff. It's sort of like when you watch like America's Got Talent or whatever. They wouldn't make it if people weren't watching it. And there's a good chunk of people that love to watch, either the whole idea of the story, But the point I'm trying to make is that the internet is coming to a very big crossroad where it is becoming the major pipe of how you enjoy media of all kinds, whether that be music,
all viewers of the world.
Yeah. And so we're coming to the point because it didn't really click into me how crazy it's gotten until I read that video that they did for the Space Oddity that
the actual astronaut, what's his face?
I forget his name.
It'll come to me in a little bit.
I think it's like Hayfield or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. The Canadian astronaut.
With the mustache.
Amazing man. I started reading the actual...
Chris
something like that. Something like that. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Who is it? Chat room.
It's right. Chat room will help.
Chris Hayfield, Hatfield.
The chat room will help us out. We'll figure it out. The chat room will let us know pretty soon.
Yeah.
But anyways, I started reading the article about that video. And this is Chris Hatfield. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I got it.
The article on his site talks about like why it is that they had, they only got a year out of it. And this is something that I didn't think
that
about.
That was a very, I thought they gave them more time.
They did. But,
but that was just one of those.
Well, no. What's interesting about it, and this is what's really intriguing, and this is why I say it's going to get interesting and why it's getting weird and why the conversation shouldn't necessarily be about fair use, but should be around something entirely different. Because as part of the idea of licensing, this is what was really fascinating, and I didn't even think about this, but this is something that you only think about as lawyers. So the beauty part of copyright law is that it is different in every country.
That's true. Because in China, it's like...
Right, and in Japan, you can do certain things doujinshin, the idea that you make like parody copies of things wouldn't fly stateside,
okay.
But it works there in Japan. Like, there's all these weird things like that. But if you're in the ISS... and you're floating above space, who gets a legal claim? What copyright law do you go by? It sounds crazy, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to talk about things like that, but this is like the weird future world that we live in that we have to go and say like, well, hold on a second. Where does copyright belong in space? And you think like, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. But if you think about the idea that copyright's different from each country, from country to country, world from, location, everything else – how do you cover the idea of a copyright, of licensing? And again, because it's he's making his own version of Space Oddity. How do you go about and because again the idea of like of when you do a cover of something of mechanical royalties and everything else like that, that's an entirely different argument. How do you license that? And at what country does it apply when you have this clip that is also that also requires a video sync license too? Where does it? What country does it apply to? Like, what part? What? Where were you where were you floating above when you recorded this portion that you cut to? It sounds so ridiculous because it's a cool video, but that's copyright law because that's how it is. That's how it's always been. We've just never had to tackle that kind of question because we've never had anyone record anything in the ISS that happened to be a licensed work.
Yeah, if you want to go down a wormhole, go down the copyright, Mickey Mouse, all that jazz.
Right,
your head will explode.
If you want to read a really good book, I actually have it. I think it's up there. Either it's up there, or actually, I might have put it over here.
Is it about Disney?
No, I put it up there. I'll have to put a bit more. It's actually, I'll grab the book really quick off the set. You're probably all seeing now some stuff. And I knocked down the DS at the same time. Oh, well. More important than that. So, yeah, the book, if you ever want to read a really good one, is actually by Lawrence Lessig.
Cover.
It's Lawrence Lessig, who's the guy that actually worked on the Creative Commons license and all that fun stuff. He actually ran for recently trying to do a run for Democratic president. Really
nice.
Cool guy.
Nice.
Read his book, Free Culture. Kind of gives you almost a very good primer on kind of the history of copyright law and everything else, even to the point where, like, at one point Hollywood was breaking copyright law in the early days. It's very interesting read. If you ever want to kind of read about it, like I got it free from the Free Software Foundation when I signed up for it, but it's well worth a read. You can actually get a free copy, cause it's under the Creative Commons license.
That's cool.
So you look up Free Culture, read that. If you ever want to learn a very, very much a complete and utter, like, history, if you will, of copyright and everything else from the idea of Hollywood breaking Edison's license to make film,
yes,
and stuff like that, and being pirates in their own rights in the past. And it's very much it's an older book. It's it's got a couple of stuff, but I mean, like, even like one of the back things is a guy as a founder of the Internet Archive. So it's still, I think it's still relevant today. It's just because, again, a lot of it is
very cool. It's cover now that
it's
I look
a
at
very
it.
Very cool book.
It's trippy, but
yeah,
when you look at it just right,
hold
you
it
see
up for the 10 people who are watching. So yeah, we'll hold it up there.
You have 10 people watching. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So yeah, if you look at you can the Creative Commons circle. I don't even know how it.
That's
does
a copyright
that.
Logo.
Okay, that's really cool.
It's a great book. It's an older book, but it's one that I still feel very, very important to watch, and we'll just look up Free Culture Creative Con, you'll find it very quickly,
like,
very
like
easy.
We're on the early morning news.
But
all right, make sure you check out this book.
But yeah, it's very interesting. We're almost out of time here, because it's very interesting to talk about all these things and to
I don't know what we've accomplished. I think we've just really given people more questions.
Well, the thing is, I think that's important too, because a lot of what a lot of what I think what Doug and team, and I mean that by everybody who's doing it,
yes,
isn't to fix the problem, because there's really it's not an easy fix, because if we get rid of the DMCA, which we can't really get rid of the DMCA, not in a bad way, but if we get rid of the DMCA, then that same idea that other things get taken away too. And again, the real crux of the argument, the real issue is that we're now at a time where internet media is a real force to be reckoned with, mm-hmm, in terms of creating stuff. And it's no longer this sort of weird experiment anymore. It's no longer this idea that, it's no longer the idea that we won't worry about that internet video thing. It's
right.
Like, no, that internet video thing is the thing. That, we won't worry about that stream music thing so much. No, that stream music thing is the thing. There are certain, there are artists who live and die now by their social media presence.
Yep.
And I'm not saying social media is going to be the thing that's going to stay forever, but the idea that this idea of consuming content in zeros and ones over some type of link. And I put that in very broad terms, because, again, I don't know where the future.
Well, you should write the next DMCA. We're thinking in the future.
Well, because, again, the idea being that if you think about
one, zeros, twos.
Well, because if you think about, we talked about, again, YouTube was founded, what was it, like November of 2006?
Six.
That's
yeah.
10 years ago.
Not long at all.
If you think about 10 years ago, I was barely in college. You were probably.
I've been in college for 2 years.
2 years, right. Like, I graduated in 2006. So 2002, you graduated.
Hanging out with a 40-year-old ex-lawyer,
right,
who's into child porn, apparently.
Right, right. You're talking about that stuff. But, even at that point, it's like, oh, wow. Like, even then, the idea of playing a video game and showing people streaming,
didn't cross your mind.
That never came to your mind. It never was a thought, maybe. That wasn't even a pipe dream then. It wasn't even this like, and if you think about that, how that's explained. So there's a lot of interesting discussion points to talk about with this stuff. And a lot of it requires you to go and say, well, what is it that we expect? Because again, all of this boils down to everything that Content ID, everything it all this does, it all boils down to money. It all boils down to who gets paid for what and why and how. It's the idea that, well, if you use my creative work, I deserve to get paid for X, Y, or Z. And it's like, well, it's fair use. And again, fair use, I think, is a good thing. I'm never going to say it's a bad thing. I'm never going to say that. I do think that there's got to be a way to figure it out, to have a thing. The real only issue, the only big issue with fair use is that because of the, and this is almost my issue with how courts work. Because again, the funny thing about legal and anything governmental, and this is for both good and for bad, is typically government moves as fast as molasses.
Yes.
Which you might think is bad in this case right now, but you kind of want that sometimes, because if it doesn't move as fast as if it moves any faster sometimes, we get the Patriot Act.
Oh, yes, that is totally yes.
And I started thinking about that. Like, that's where my thoughts always go.
That was like a bunch of back alley,
right? And course. that was hyper fast.
Let's do that as fast as we can,
right? And again,
with no thoughts,
we never talk about. We always hearken on the thing that affects us. We never kind of, you know, the one thing, and that's sort of why I got a little angry, not in a bad way, because I'm just like, because again, I do believe what Doug is saying is right. I do believe it's a problem. I do believe all these things. At the same time, I don't think you quite get it, and not in a bad way, in a you're only limited by your worldview right now, and you sometimes have to kind of zoom the fuck out, you know, and look at history and look at everything else and kind of say, well, then, you know, because again, the solution isn't simple because of the way fair use is proven, because you could probably make a computer define what's fair use, but because a court might think differently, it's like, well, fuck, we got to change the algorithm again because the court says it's differently. Like, it's like, well, the court argued this was the same thing. And, you know, you might have eventually a computer's like, well, fine, fuck it then. It's all garbage. I don't give a shit anymore. You violate this. I don't give a, you know, eventually you're going to piss off a computer.
That's awesome.
Be like, I don't give a fuck. You know, you're going to have a government employee computer. It's like, I don't give a fuck. It's fair use. You know, ain't fair use here. Get the fuck out of, you know. I could just imagine, because if you gave the computer the idea of here's the court cases of what's fair use, here's the court cases of what's not fair use, and it's like, well, I mean, they both look the same to me, you know, or even the idea of like, here's the court case of what's porn, here's the court case of what's not porn. I mean, they're both naked, right?
Well,
which counts?
I think that was, I don't remember if it was completely proposed in his video, but I mean, it's definitely a proposal, is to change the MCA, get that updated, but also... what I liked is his proposal of kind of, and I don't know if it'll work in the DMCA, but is kind of to let or give more power to the accused, the accuser, because it's boiling down to. He's not mad about when it's a legitimate claim.
Right. Well,
it's a way to protect people for these illegitimate claims.
Again, it's, and the beauty part and the. Both the beauty part and the detriment part of law, and it's a very right. very common thing, and people, and you could argue in some cases it's not, in some cases it is, and I don't want to get into that whole money argument or thing like that, but the crux, I mean, again, it's a common phrase, we've said it, you've heard it before, but you've probably never thought of it until right now, but justice is blind. It doesn't see it. It's designed. I mean, again, I'm not. I don't want to get into the philosophical argument of like we have a whole bunch of money that you could buy legal. I don't want to get in that argument right now because that's not really that doesn't push the conversation forward. But justice is, you know, legal is designed in a way, or at least tries its damnedest, especially now modern law, to be blind, to not have a built-in prejudice either for or against. And that doesn't necessarily, you know, that might be things like, you know, good things like, you know, getting rid of racial prejudices and legal kind of disputes and that kind of idea for sure. And I think that's a great thing. But it also applies to the idea of like, well, it doesn't have these kind of things of like, well, you're a special YouTube creator. You're a special internet creator.
Which is what we kind of have now.
Right. But the idea being that, because again, at one point people joined MCNs, not because they wanted to do it, but because the MCNs provided like
more protection.
Like, we'll handle all the licensing for you, when they didn't.
We'll take all the strikes.
When they didn't. Because again, they're not in it for that thing. They're in it for to get the damn ad dollars, and
exactly.
That's where it all boils down to. And I keep fucking saying it, and it's going to happen because the internet's growing up, not because anything's magical or anything special. It's because the internet's now coming to the point now where we're at a point now where people are approaching, you know, Rocket Jump to make their content, and Rocket Jump began in this like, we like to make video game parody videos. They're now approaching them to do that. We're at a point now where a internet company that began 10 years ago by making a little, you know, video recorded in the Halo engine about why are we here in a box canyon making a movie that is playing in theaters right now, that was playing in theaters, yep. That was a multi-million dollar movie that is now streaming on YouTube Red, that was recorded on hardcore Red cameras and everything else. And that's and that that came out of that company. And that was 10 years ago when that company was doing that. Maybe 12 years ago when that company was making making that little
still in high school.
That little thing off of an Xbox, you know. So that's the world we live in now. And because of that, we're right now hitting a lot of the legal pains, because at the end of the day, everybody, you know, everybody wants to rule the world. Everybody wants that piece of the pie. No one quite knows how to get it, but nobody wants anyone else stealing what is theirs. It sucks. It's weird. It's squishy. I do think we need to discuss it, but I don't know if anyone. I don't know if having anointed, having certain creators get passing, what that means. You know, again, it's weird. It's such a thing. And I will say this, out of all things, I am glad that we're talking about this now, and I'm glad that I'm having this conversation, because this is essentially what we had at PAX.
Yeah.
Except it was a little bit more quick, abrupt, and succinct. But just because we're just like, we're waiting for the fucking panel to start. Like, we're not
right,
really,
right.
We're not having an hour long, you know, podcast discussion. But it's one of those things that, like, I knew when I watched it, I was like, I'm probably going to talk about this in 8-Bit Life. Because just like, I know I'm going to have to, because I'm just like, I have so many opinions on this. And I may have to get some friends of mine back on and have more
you
discussion.
You should, yeah. I think that's what we need to be doing. Like, because, I mean, this is what we consume.
Yeah.
If we don't talk about it, we don't make a buzz right. about it, we could lose what we love.
For sure.
Or just what we love just may not be any fun.
Right. Whatever. And
which isn't really what Doug Walker says. He says, even with all these setbacks, look at what we've created.
Right, exactly. Like, we've had a lot. And again, a lot of the setbacks that exist are just because, again, things are changing. Yeah. And in a good way. In a very good way. I mean, I always talk about this. Like, this podcast couldn't exist. This couldn't have existed 3 or 4, you know, this could have existed 10 years ago in any capacity.
Oh, no.
In any capacity. It could not have existed. What we're doing right now, streaming to the internet, having this recorded, having this done, even when I have technical difficulties, I can't stream a Google Hangouts, I got to spin up a Skype to record it.
Oh, darn.
It's like, that couldn't have happened 10 years ago.
Right.
And I realize this has probably gone on way longer than a normal 8-Bit Life episode has, but I think it's important to talk about maybe in an extended kind of capacity. Yeah. So if this has gone longer than the normal 8-Bit goes on, I apologize, people, but this is what happens when we talk about it. Because it is a very serious topic. It's a very important thing to talk about, and I think you all should voice your concerns about stuff. But at the same time, I think you should also read what fair use means and understand
yes,
that.
Do better research, because I haven't.
Yeah, because
I've only done my research from videos.
Well, because a lot of people throw around that term a lot. A lot of people just flip and say, well, it's fair use. It's fair use. Not quite understanding what the fuck that means.
Right.
And we had this when Greg was on, too, and kind of stuff. And a lot of it, you know, do your research as to what fair use means. And what are the current best practices and stuff like that. Keep abreast of that. So that way you know. That way you're aware of things. Because a lot of times when I make a video and everything else, I do look up like, well, is this, you know, like when we originally made the Expedition versus Reality, like we had looked up like, does this count as fair use? Because we thought it did, and we looked it up, we studied it. I kept reading over legal documents, everything else I could, and you know, again, I'm not a lawyer, so at the end of the day, if I got sued, like, fine, fuck it, I got a lawyer to prove this shit, and that's what sucks. But that's the weird world where we live in. But in all honesty, it's fair use. It is, you know, and again, the thing that flipped had nothing to do. And my fear had nothing to do with Content ID, because Content ID is like, all right, fine, fuck it, I can challenge a computer. It's that, what if that human on the other side says, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And then takes me to court.
Right.
And again, it's like, fuck, now I got to go to court to prove something. And then that costs legal fees and everything else. And this is, again, we're at a point now that because that's in place and that because these entities care, that means shit's getting serious. That means that they're afraid that because you copied that clip, which sounds serious. I mean, in a very much a, that's why the content
don't copy itself. That floppy,
right? But because you copied that clip, that may fuck over their marketing for X, Y, or Z movie,
right?
And that's important to talk about,
right?
And that's the world we live in. Charles Rubeck, thank you for coming on this very, very deep, serious
very
episode.
Deep, long,
hard
episode
thrusting
of my so-called 8-bit life. Where can people find you online these days, sir?
So you can find me on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
at Charles Rubank. You can also find me on Instagram. I post once every couple months.
Nice.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. And yeah, those are the only social networks I worth. I feel like talking about. But yeah, follow me on Twitter. Say hello.
So start promoting your I should start promoting my Elo account out of all the things now.
Oh, my goodness.
I have an Elo. I have everything now. But if you want to find me very quickly and you're not on Elo or anything else, just find me on Twitter, at Vincent404. You can also, of course, if you like this episode and want to check out previous ones, head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. You'll find links to our Twitter account for the show, which is at 8bitlifepodcast. And, of course, if you happen to really, really enjoy this and you want to support a creator who doesn't do any monetization on YouTube, mind you, but loves to make stuff nonetheless, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and throw a few bucks my way and make this thing way more awesomer, way more cooler, way more crazier. As we talk about very, very serious topics such as fair use and
crazy.
Crazy stuff. Wild things.
Stripper poles going right there. slide pudding pool right here,
and right above here is gonna be the big flag, the big fuck you and the American flag underneath it.
Sounds like a plan. Patreon, let's make this happen.
So that's it for today. So tune next time and talk another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.